One day, I remember I was taking a brother. I was taking a brother from campus. I went to my friend's house. It's not far from campus. It's like from Kansanga to Kabalagala for some people who know that place. So I asked the brother, guys, like, how are you? Please take me to Kabalagala Junction of Human Rights. I was like, okay, 7,000. I was like, man, you think I'm stupid? I know where I'm going, right? It was like, oh yeah, he started speaking Lugala. I felt like they started abusing me with the other friends. That's why from that day, I don't like taking bola bola guys who are surrounded with the other friends. If you're alone, okay, we can speak freely. But if there are many, I don't feel comfortable at all. Like, nah. So.
I'm from a beautiful place, the Pearl of Africa. Hailing with a 256, it's in my blood. That's a gem where the mountains rise. With stories untold, the tapestry of cultures unfolding, so vibrant and bold. A symphony of stars, a celestial light. The drums beating, echoing through the night. Just like a beacon of light, a reflection that's coming up from the Nile. I'm flowing straight into the heart of Africa with timeless stories untold.
Welcome once again to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show podcast. We are dedicated to bring you stories of the people around the world who share their stories, what they've been through, life, and we laugh together, we help together, we grow together, we do everything together. For today's episode, you might be familiar with my guest today. She was on the podcast a few episodes ago with their podcast, The Chat Room 256. Sarah, our friend is Sarah. Welcome to my podcast.
Thank you, Bunny. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you back. I remember when we recorded that episode, we had like a lot of conversation, a lot of things that we talked about you, your life, and being a foreigner in Uganda. And we could not talk about it on that podcast because the podcast was mainly for your guys' podcast, talk about what you guys are doing. So I wanted to bring you back to have the conversation with you. But I want to ask you, how has life been ever since we recorded the podcast? Like, what has changed? What is going on? Catch us up with the podcast and what's going on?
Life is there. Nothing has changed. We're still doing the podcast. The chat room is there and school is there. And that's it. It's always been school, podcast, and nothing else. So, yeah.
I left when you guys had one episode. So, what's the update?
Yeah, you saw the next episode, right? Didn't you? You saw it.
Yeah, I saw the second episode. I just wanted to update my listeners so they know that you guys did. Maybe some of them did not.
Also, yeah, we released another episode. Was it last week? The week before last week, yeah. So, we released another episode. It was like our second episode, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, after that, we have more to come. But not now. We need sometimes for the people who follow us, just be patient with us. We'll be there. We're coming.
One thing I discovered as a content creator, and this is something I'm going to apply to my own podcast, it's not consistency is good, but we have to think about the quality over the quantity. Like, it doesn't. Like, it's good to be consistent, releasing episode every week. But we need to sit down and think about the kind of content we're putting out or, like, the quality of that. So it doesn't matter if you release one episode every month, as long as you give time to that. So I don't think there's any rush and you guys can take your time because I'm also going to cut on how many episodes I put out. So, like, I can just, So I'm going to start, like, either doing two. So I can also have time to myself. I don't want to dedicate everything to the podcast. So I think you guys are on a good
track. Really? But it's nice listening to you, like, every week. It's nice listening to you. But thank you.
I would love that. I love to do that. I love doing it, but, like, yeah, it takes a lot of time, and with editing and this new system that I've started doing, people being in the studio, I want to give myself time to get the footage back and all that. So yeah, but content creating is good and needs time, and you got to be patient with it. I think you guys are doing a great job. I want to remind all my listeners to still go and subscribe to the Chat Room 256 on TikTok, Instagram,
256.
YouTube, Yona. When I left you, you told us you don't know Luganda because you're not a Ugandan. You're from Congo. What words have you learned in Uganda, in Luganda in that time?
I got a teacher. I got a teacher.
Yeah. You had to get a teacher.
I'm learning.
You're learning.
Yeah, I'm learning.
What's one word you've learned in Luganda?
The word I want or I learned?
Yeah, what have you, give us one word you've learned in Luganda.
This is bad because I only remember the last one we did, like Jebaleko. What else?
Okay.
I don't know.
That's good.
I can't remember.
That is good.
Okay.
No, that is good.
Oliotia, right? Oliotia. Simanyi, see?
Yeah.
Simanyi. I can say that.
Yeah. No, that's good.
I have another one.
Uh-huh.
Insonua. What does
that mean? Why did you learn that? Do you like wrong people a lot?
No, like I just heard some people talking and I was like, what does that mean? It was like, it's maybe saying, oh, leave me alone, right?
Okay.
Is it the same
thing? Yeah, leave me alone. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good one. That's a good one. But so for the listeners who did not listen to you talk on the first episode, you mentioned you're from Congo. How was that like for you to get from Congo, and why did you choose to move to Uganda?
Moving to Uganda, this was mostly my dad's decision because I was supposed to move to Uganda since I was a kid, actually, since P6. After P6, I was supposed to come to Uganda, but then my mom and the family were like, oh no, you should let the kid be around. She will go after she got her diploma. I don't know how you call it. The thing you get in senior for. What do you guys call it in Uganda? It's a certificate.
Certificate, yeah.
So yeah, my mom told my dad I will come after I got my certificate back in Congo. And then when I got my certificate, that's the thing, I just came because it was planned for so long and now it was time. I just moved out from Congo to Kampala for studies. Yeah. And now I've been here this is my third year.
That is good to tell that story because I think the majority of people would think like when most people who move from Congo to Uganda, they are running away from the war. Like there's some of them where I have a friend, I think now he's in Norway, but he was like a refugee in Uganda for a while, and then they got like citizenship in Norway, but he's from Congo. I know there's two Congo, isn't it? Like two different ones?
Yeah, yeah, there are two different Congo. There is Congo Kinshasa, where I come from, and then there is Congo Brazza. Yeah, Congo Brazza, our neighbors.
Is that the one that there's a war in one of them? Like people dying or fighting, is it?
Ours, my country, the richest actually. So there is war. You can understand.
I learned that because I watch basketball and there's a player, Jonathan Kuminga, who is from Congo. And he was doing an interview about Congo and he was talking about the war that's going on and they were asking him about his family, if his family is good. How is your family back in Congo?
Oh, we're scared, but they are good, alhamdulillah. You know, we've been living through this for years and years. So it's like we live with it. It goes, they kill some, they return, they come back. But for now, they are safe. And we just, thank God, nothing to do. Even today, I saw some videos online from my country, especially the side I come from north, you know. It was so heartbreaking. There were kids crying, you know, in their camp, those refugees. I don't know what happened. I didn't hear the full story. Maybe it was rain. I don't know, whatever. All the camp were down. Some people died. The kids were crying all over. This is, it's so much. So it'll be sensitive for me. Sorry.
No, that's the same thing. Like if something is happening in Uganda, I would be worried for my people, even if they're not my family, but like the country, like you never know where your family is at. Even if like it's happening far away from where your family lives, you never know if one of your cousins
went there to do
something.
You never know if someone moved from the other side. See?
Yeah.
Same thing. We just worried and pray a lot.
Yeah. I didn't mean to miss, I mean, I forgot it, but like I meant to ask you happy Ramadan and assalamu alaikum.
You don't do that. Allahu Karim, Allahu Akram. In Islam, that's what we say. When you say Ramadan Karim, you say Allahu Akram. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I have
not Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akram.
Allahu Akram. Okay, thank you. You taught me that. What are some of the experiences you experienced when you moved to Uganda from Congo the first time? Like, what are... They ask us about culture shock. Like, when I left Uganda to come to the US, like, there are things I'd never seen snow. I'd never seen, like, buildings, like, in New York City. What are some of the things, like, you experienced when you moved to Uganda?
When I moved to Uganda, you know, the first thing was... this is like an open country, you know, you can do whatever you want. If you want to move naked in town, that's your problem. And the dating stuff is very different here. It's so different from Congo. Like, oh my God, you can see two people dating, but they're living together and just fine, you know. No one is going to judge them. Back there in Congo, I wasn't even allowed to date. Dating someone was like a big problem. Seeing you, it's once a week. And that's it. But in Uganda, okay, it's dating. And sometimes you can talk to your parents. They will understand. Maybe where I come from, in my house, it was like the biggest thing you can tell your parents. Mama, have a boyfriend. Why are you... I never even told that to my mom, actually. I'm 20 and above. I never told my mom I have a boyfriend. So, yeah. It was different.
Was it mostly from the family members, or was it even like people who are not your family, when they see you with a boy or girl, like they'll make it a big deal? Or was it mainly the family?
You know, in Congo, like where I come from, my hometown, everyone like know each other. So when I move with someone, it's a big deal. I can't just move with a boy who is not my family member. That's going to be a problem at home, because I never know if my aunt is going to see me in town or whatever. So I have to be very careful. Oh, yeah.
Did you break the rules, though? Did you have a boyfriend even without them knowing?
I'm a good girl. Okay, breaking the rule, having a boyfriend, that was cool stuff. But having an official boyfriend while I was still in Congo, biggie. That was a big deal. I never do that. So. Yeah. Until I come to Kampala. That's when I started doing this official thing, like I'm dating.
Yeah. And so. Because your family is not there to see you, so you're on your own.
I know. My family is not here. I'm safe somehow.
What are some of the things you enjoy in Kampala?
Freedom. In Kampala, you can move everywhere you want. You can have whatever you want if you have the money. If you don't have money, okay, that's another problem. But if you have the money, you can live the life you want in Uganda, especially in Kampala. So that's, I really enjoy that here.
What are some of your favorite things you like to do in Kampala?
More like moving at night. I like moving at night.
To where?
I like clubbing, even if I don't do that much. I like clubbing and... restaurants in Kampala, they're the best, you know. Yeah. So I love restaurants. Going to different restaurants every day, trying restaurants. So it's like some of the funnest thing I do here.
Yeah. I was there in January, and most of the restaurants were really, really good. Do you know, top of your head, what's some of your favorite restaurants?
My first favorite was Dynasty, but not anymore. Oh, 4 Points. But the people are so mean, you know. 4 Points. Is it 4 Points? No, it's Fontis.
Okay.
I don't know. Is it Fontis? The people are so mean. All the waiters, like whatever. I don't like that restaurant, even if it's so good looking. I love being around, but it's not welcome. So I like 4 Points right now. It's like my favorite.
So as somebody who moved to Uganda for school, and you came for university, right?
Only, yeah.
Yeah. So actually, remind the listeners what university you go to.
Oh, I go to International University of East Africa, Kansanga.
So as somebody who has experienced campus life in Uganda, what are some of the standout differences in Uganda? What are some of the things that stand out to you in campus life in Uganda?
Parties, you know.
Yeah.
At campus, we party a lot, you know. Especially my university, there's so many entertainments. You can even lose yourself if you don't focus. So it's always been this celebrity is coming today, this celebrity is coming next. So it's very entertaining. I like that about campus.
How do you manage to balance that and be able to perform in school?
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult. We've been lost sometimes, all of us, and some did not come back. I know some people, we started with them the first year, like first year, first semester, but now they even dropped out of school because everything is mixed up. You don't know where to go. You're pulling this side, music. You're pulling this side, this is social life, whatever. You're just in the middle, and then you find yourself, you're not performing well at school. Everything is overwhelming. Some dropped out, some don't come to school anymore. They just show up when you have exams, when you have like these courseworks, that's when you see them. We have so many people at campus, but I can say for myself, I've been hanging there for a while, even if it's difficult, but yeah, I'm still there.
What course are you doing? I know you told us in the last episode, what course are you doing? If you need to, if you can remind that to our listeners.
I'm doing procurement logistic management.
And do you have a plan to go back to Congo to work there, or you want to stay in Uganda and work in Uganda?
Obviously, I would love to go back to Congo. There are some good deals, actually, especially where my dad works. So if I get a good job, I will go back to Congo. Yeah. But I love Kampala. I would love to have my life here. Everything is good in Kampala. But the problem is the money. So we have to go where the money is. Maybe we go to Congo and work, then come back to Kampala for enjoyment, stuff like that, yeah.
Back to campus life a little bit. I know you have friends back in Congo who are going to university. How is the university campus life in Congo different from the one in Uganda? If your friends have told you that. Is there like partying a lot like in Uganda or no?
Nah. I didn't go to university in Congo, but I don't think there is partying a lot because I've never been there, so I will not judge a lot. But if it was me who was in campus back in Congo with my parents at home, swear to God, it wasn't going to be fun. It was going to be fun at all. I'm too scared to go back home every time. And I don't think if I go to my dad and be like, you know what, Dad, we have a party at school today. We have a house party. He will never agree with that. I know my dad. So I don't know. For me, it might be different. And I like it here in Kampala because I am free. I'm doing everything on my own. I control myself. I manage my time and whatever. So it's good for me, Kampala.
I think I would relate to you because I didn't go to campus in Uganda. I miss the campus life in Uganda because I was like, I want to know how that would have been for me going to university.
I don't want to know. I want to be here. I'm in the right place.
I went to school in the US and it was different. It's not as crazy as it is in Uganda, but I wish I went to school in Uganda. Like, don't get me wrong, I wasn't crazy. Like, I would say that. I wasn't crazy. Like, I was not. Me personally.
I'm not crazy either. Don't talk me for a crazy person. I'm not crazy either. But you know the fun around campus. Everyone is going, you know. You can also go with the fun.
Yeah.
So you mean your campus was boring? Your campus life was boring instead?
It wasn't boring. We went out. We did that. But it wasn't wild. It was like a religious school. It was a Christian school. So, like, you know, a Christian school, there is not a lot of, like, chaos. Ooh. It's not like an open...
I hate Christian schools.
Why?
They're always so strict. Everything is... it's too close. It's not so free. It's not so fun. So I feel you. Don't worry.
It was but I mean, you could make things fun outside of that. So you could find other things to do and hang out with friends and did all that. But I think if I was in Uganda, I would be the Juma Waswa Balunya. I think that's
Juma. I see you like that guy for real. Like, he got you.
Tell me your experience with that. Like, you know, like, I know you didn't go to MUBS, but like campus life kind of is the same in Uganda. How was that? And you guys found this information, the Juma Waso Balunya, because I saw you guys do a TikTok of that. What can you say about that whole experience of like guild? And I know you guys have a guild president at your university, like that whole situation. How is that like?
It's always fun, but you know, sometimes I feel like everything is not for me, so I will not go into everything. They do their thing. They have parties. They organize some parties for the president. They have this debate and campaign and stuff. It's always the same thing. You know, they have money at campus and you have to convince people to vote for you, that you're capable of doing something. So it's always the same thing. Parties, yeah. They invite people to vote, campaigns are crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's almost the same thing. Juma just went somewhere very far away.
How?
The campaign manager is the best.
Yeah.
He did a great job.
Yeah. I think Juma, wherever he is or if he watches this podcast, he needs to like have that campaign manager somewhere in his like administration or something. Because that guy, I don't know who Juma is. I know the campaign manager.
But we know
manager,
the campaign manager.
But that guy made him famous, like made Juma famous.
I know. On TVs, you can hear him on TVs everywhere. Internet's like, oh my God. All of Uganda, actually Kampala.
Can you just sing for us one of the songs as I sang? Jitekeyo, jijeyo malo, jizeyo.
I don't even know those like lyrics. I don't know the lyrics. My friends do.
Yeah.
My team, they do know the lyrics. That's why last time you saw a video of us singing, I wasn't singing at all. I was just going with the vibe. I don't sing.
But those are catchy songs, and that campaign manager was smart to come up with those because, like, you can easily remember them, you know. Like, and I was like, if I could vote, I would come to Uganda and vote for Juma. I don't even know him, but I've heard his name. Well, Juma was so bad.
I feel like the whole of MOBS voted for him.
Yeah,
MOBS, all the students voted for Juma. We don't know what happened next. Did he like? They have voted yet?
I think they did. I think they voted. I think he went through. But I saw some things on Twitter that I don't know. I don't really know a lot of information. I just know that Juma was a Balunya. That's all I know. And it's that's all we go with. But that's funny to hear your perspective in campuses in Uganda. But living in Uganda as a foreigner must have its own experience. Like you're not from there. Can you tell us about some of those experiences you've gone through being a person who is not from that country? The goods and the bads. Is there things like you can feel, man, I wish I was in my country?
Oh, okay. Let's start with the bad side. I miss my country when I'm here in Kampala. Helpless. I have nothing to do. I don't have my family around. I'm just alone. I have many problems and I have no one to go to and talk to them so they can help me some ways. So yeah, it's a bit difficult to be alone. Not very alone. Like I have family here, but I'm not close to them. So I wish I was back in Congo. You know, my mom is around. She's like my bestie every time I talk to her, but she's not around much and I can't give her all of my problems, you know. Yeah. So it's one of the difficulties I've found here. And in social, like, you know, in Uganda, when you're a foreigner, everyone is trying to chop you, whatever, everywhere you go. What about the guys in town? Everyone is trying to eat from you. Like, when you just speak your English, they'll be like, okay, so it's you. You're the people who are ruining our country. You know the side of Kansanga? Most of foreigners, they're really making life hard for the Ugandans, you know, because of rent, the lifestyle on the other side, it's becoming very expensive. So when you speak your English and whatever, they'll be like, okay, thank you for coming. They're going to eat your money. So if you're not very careful, you're going to lose things.
So
I wish I knew Uganda so that I can be a bit safe, you know, on the other side, speaking Uganda and make my way through most of the thing here. I feel like they don't give us a fair price. Like all foreigners, if you ask for something, they will not give you a fair price or the right price. What if I knew Uganda, maybe I could.
You make a good point that, when you go to buy something and somebody knows, like, you don't know Uganda, they're going to try to take advantage of you and just sell you on a different price. And like something that's 1,000, it's going to be 5,000 for you, you know?
You know, one day I remember I was taking a boda. I was taking a boda from campus. I went to my friend's house. It's not far from campus. It's like from Kansanga to Kabalagala for some people who knows that place. So I asked the boda guys, like, how are you? Please take me to Kabalagala Junction of Human Rights. I was like, okay, 7,000. I was like, man, you think I'm stupid? I know where I'm going, right? It was like, oh, yeah, he started speaking Luganda. I felt like they started abusing me with the other friends. That's why from that day, I don't like taking Bola Bola guys who are surrounded with the other friends. If you're alone, okay, we can speak freely. But if there are many, I don't feel comfortable at all. Yeah. Like, nah. So they try to take advantage all the time.
Well, that's a challenge. Now, the other part I want to ask you about is the social part. Being a foreigner, and I know it can be hard to make friends in Uganda. How is your relationship with the female friends that are Ugandan that are not from your country? How is the relationship been for you? Is it easier for you to make friendship?
I don't have Ugandan friends apart from Hadi, you know, my co-host.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have Ugandan friends. Most of my friends are from Eritrea, Congo. So yeah, when I just joined campus, you know, the first person who talked to me, she's Eritrean. So she was my first friend at campus. And from her, I knew other Eritreans. I became so close to them. And the rest are Congolese, you know, because I'm a Congolese, so I can talk to them easily. But Ugandans, I'm not so close to Ugandans. Yeah. But I have colleagues who are Ugandans. So, yeah, that's the thing. I don't have close friends who are Ugandans, apart from you, Hadi, and the rest. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're not Ugandan anymore, do you? Are you?
I am Ugandan. What are you talking about? You're talking to the Ugandan boy talk show.
You know, I do some investigations and I'm good at that.
FBI. No, I asked you that question because, so I look at you in a position how I look at myself being in America as a foreigner, because life sometimes gets hard when you don't have your family there with you. Sometimes life gets hard. You need to talk to them, and then friends, you know, like it's hard for me to make friends here. Most of my friends are Ugandans, like they're back home, you know, like. Oh. I have friends here, but it's hard to get to them. And sometimes they can't relate to what you're going through. I don't have like Ugandan friends close by me around. They're like in different states. So sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes it can be hard. And it can be hard when you don't have people who can relate to you or understand what you're going through.
Yeah, I know, I know. I've been with my friends, those Eritrean and stuff, as I told you, but... Okay, we understand each other, but most of the time, you know, we can't really relate because we don't come from the same country. Our cultures are different and stuff. But I tried to get some Congolese friends and most of them didn't like me that much. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever, that's another story. So I feel like, I will go with foreigners.
You know what actually happens? And I think it's the same thing there. When you meet another person from your country in a foreign land, they get into that thing of competition, like you're better than them, or they think
I know.
So they get that. Like if I met a Ugandan here, they'll try to see how you are and they try to get into like a competition. You have this, you have that, you have a house, you have a car, you know. And the relationship is not really good.
That's the story with Congolese. They always look at what you have, what you don't have. Who are you? Where are you from? You know, this competition thing, it's exhausting. So I just like being unknown, you know. I love the feeling of being unknown.
No, that's good. And I think you're doing it the right way. And I mean, I don't close my door for friendship, but then I'm not going to entertain friends who are just there for fights and arguing and all that.
Thank you.
I made a few clips on the podcast here, and you actually mentioned something like, if you don't have money in Kampala, life can be hard. I made a few clips with Abel on the podcast about money and like girls asking for money. So this question, I'm going to ask you this opinion. What is your opinion on girls asking transport money from guys? You think it's fair for girls to ask for money, or when should they ask for money?
You know, before I came to Uganda, my perspective of that on that was so different. Like for me, a girl to ask for money, that's so lame and it's underrated. You cannot ask for money. Like a man, the guy you're dating, you first have to look to his life. How is he? Okay, he's struggling. So why are you going to put your burden on him again? You know? So that was me before I come to Uganda. And now when I'm in Uganda, I can understand the thing, you know. I'm here at campus. I need someone who's going to help me But it's not an everyday thing. Mm-hmm. You just can't date me and then be like, oh no, I don't have money every day. Okay, that's exhausting. Okay, I like you, but sometimes you gotta do your part, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of I'm going to visit you and you have to give me money, nah.
Mm-hmm.
I do the thing on my own. Like, if I have my own money, I will do my own stuff. I don't expect you to do things for me as long as I can afford them. But if I'm not in position to pay the thing for myself, I will expect something from you, actually.
Yeah.
So
I think you say the right way, and I agree with you on that. As a boyfriend, as whatever capacity you're in with that girl, you are there to help each other. And for me, my argument was, if the guy, you mentioned it, if the guy you're dating does not have money and you know it, you can understand, like, why are you putting a burden on them? But if the guy has the money and he just doesn't want to give it out, that's also another problem.
That's another problem, yeah.
And also, like, a girl asking for money every day, that's also exhausting, like, every single day.
I know.
It's okay to help out. Yeah, it's okay to help out, but it's not like an everyday thing, like, hey, today, tomorrow.
You know my problem? You know my problem? In my mind, every time I do something, every time I'm asking you for something or the other person, I always put myself in their shoes, you know? If I was the guy and someone is asking for money every day, just imagine. I'm struggling to get the money on my own. How am I going to afford to give you every day?
Mm-hmm.
You know the life we are living. It's not easy. So if I was the guy, that's what I said. I said to myself, if I was the guy, I wasn't going to like what she's doing. So I will just stop. Yeah. And I won't do it like every day. I will just tell you, if you feel like you can help, then it's okay. But I won't exhaust you with my problems.
I would like that. I would be down for that. As long as it's not like every day. It's not like ATM. Like, you're going to go and swipe and swipe and swipe. Like,
every day, you know?
But like, once in a while, yeah, I understand that. And we need to help each other. And also the other thing I say, like, if a guy doesn't have money and you have as a girl, if you love him, you're going to help him out. Like, you're going to help him out. Like, he doesn't have money.
I do that. It's not a biggie for me, you know. When I love someone, I do everything for them to be happy. That's my problem. As long as I do something to make you happy, I'm okay with it.
I think I agree with your perspective. The other question I was going to ask you is, how do you feel about the hospitality of Ugandans? When you came to Uganda, did you feel like Ugandans really are welcoming, or are they these kind of people who are like, they're just minding their business and you also have to just mind
their
business?
That's the thing. Second option. Yeah.
Yeah.
Second option. Ugandans, you can die in your house. That's your problem. You know, they will not come and check on you. As long as you didn't scream and yell, that's on you. they don't really mind others.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a neighbor whom you never met for 6 months. And that's okay for them. So it's not like you know, in Congo, when you somewhere, like back there in Goma, some people are very friendly, unless these days, I don't know, but some people are really friendly. They will come to you, oh my God, you're here, welcome. You know, we appreciate you being around. We can help each other, this and that. You know, they try to be friendly with you. They try to welcome you around, but in Uganda, you can move your ass around everywhere. They will just look at you. Doing whatever you want.
No, I definitely agree with that. I asked that question knowing the answer, but I wanted to hear from you. Like, I know my country people. I know Ugandans. Like, if they don't have anything they're getting from you, nah. Nobody's not even going to ask the question. But as long as somebody has something he's getting from you, either money or something or shelter, they're going to be your friends. But if they don't, no.
Oh, maybe I never experienced that because I don't give them anything. Unless the landlords who just come and knock at your doors and stuff. This is exhausting also.
Yeah. So I know on your podcast you do kind of mental health. You guys talk about mental health and things that people go through. Was it a reason, because of you being in Uganda, going through depression, that made you to talk about that? Or was it something different? It's not about you moving to Uganda.
It's a bit of everything, you know. When I met Hadi, she was going through something. She was depressed, you know. And I felt so related to her. Like, we like related in all the ways, and we felt like, you know, people don't really talk about mental health in Uganda. We used to go to a therapist in at our campus. We used to go to therapists together. So I was like, you know, I want to speak out about this. Many people here at campus are going through depression and they don't talk about it. Lately at campus, we had a boy who almost killed himself because of pressure. You know, pressure of society, pressure of school, all that. He got through depression for a really long time. If he didn't speak out, I think from now we could have, like, he will be dead. And that's where we get the idea of talking about mental health. And after that, we got so many feedback, which was surprising. Like, oh my God, people are really suffering. We go at campus, we partied. Of course, we partied. There's so many things to do at campus. You have your friends. We have no time to discuss and share what's going on in your life. No one has the time to listen to you. And people feel ashamed to go to therapists. And some feel, I won't go to a therapist because they're just, they're scammers. They're there to chop your money, listen to your problems. They have their own problems. Why would you go to someone to tell someone your problems? Mm-hmm. You know, they don't really trust those things. So maybe talking about mental health, what's going on in our life. We are young, of course. We are enjoying. But apart from that, we are depressed. We have problems. So maybe if we talk about it, some people will feel a bit relieved and they are not alone, you know, just for people to relate to us.
Yeah, I definitely understand and relate to that because it comes with a part of, we talked about this earlier, living in a country that you're not from, going through some things that you can't share with your closest people, and then you have to sit with it inside your heart. You don't have somebody to share with.
Exactly.
That can lead to can lead to depression because something happens to you and you don't have people to share it with, then you just keep it in your heart. And sometimes it gets overwhelming with everything that's going on. And then you have to put it out. I wanted to ask you some of the final questions on this. And then I have extra I'm going to ask you so we can wrap this up. What message would you tell a foreign student who wants to go to Uganda to study, either from Congo? What can they look out for? Or what's a message you can send to another foreign student?
So if you don't have a very supporting system, you have to work on that before you come this side. When you come to Kampala alone, you don't have this support system, which is very strong, maybe with your parents or whatever. It's going to be difficult, you know. Also, you have to look for friends who are going to help you grow, not friends who are going to lose you in on the way. At campus, we meet different people, different level. We are very different. We come from different families, different values. So you have to find someone who comes from, who has the same values as you, someone who's going to help you go through the right direction. We get lost sometimes, but if you have someone who's going to remind you from where you come from, and what you came to do here, it's really helpful for some students. I feel like many don't have that. That's why we have students who even dropped out of school because they don't know why they came to do here. So if you don't have that, you don't have a good supportive system, I mean, you yourself, you're not ready, it's going to get overwhelming and maybe you lose yourself in the process. You have to get ready mentally. Also, the money has to be around. The money is also a big part. You have to make sure you have enough money to come to Kampala or to another country. You know, money is a big deal. If you have the money, it can help you somehow. But if you don't have money at all and you have problems, that's another story. And it's a lot for a student to take in.
I definitely relate with that. Me being a foreign student who went to another country, it's what you said is right. But I picked up on a support system, and that's why I want to ask you this last question. Like, what has been the relationship with your parents? Because I know they've been big in supporting you. How is your relationship with your parents in supporting you in what you do or being in another country?
My parents are very good. I'm thanking them. Like, they're the reason why I'm here and why I'm talking to you now. Imagine if I didn't have food to put on my plate, I wouldn't come. If I didn't have transport, so that's all my parents. Also, my boyfriend, actually, he has been a very big help for me. If I'm still me, it's because of him. I know if I didn't meet him, I was going to lose myself because of type of friends I got at university, but it helped me remember why I came here and what I'm doing, where I come from, my family. So with my parents, they're really a big help for me and they support me. Everything which relates to school, they will never say no to me. So I really love that. They are the best in the world right now. I love them just so much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So now we have come to the end of this podcast, but there is three questions. I think I asked you the last time we recorded the episode, but I'm going to ask them again and see if any of those have changed. But one of the questions is, what has been a life lesson you've learned in life to this point?
I remember I told you don't take people for granted, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm still on that. People, we always want more than what we have. You have someone, maybe your friend, you don't like them, you just want to have that type of friend, you're going to lose yourself. Just work with what you have right now and don't take those people who love you for granted. That's all.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, we shouldn't take people for granted. I definitely agree 1,000%. The other question is, what gets you excited about life?
Don't worry, my question hasn't changed, but my mom, I want to make her proud. That is my biggest goal. Like, I want to make her proud. You know, since I was a little girl, that was the only thing I wanted to do. Even when I go to town to buy some clothes, I'm like, is mama going to like this? If not, swear to God, I will never put that clothes on. So it's always my mom. I want her to be proud of me.
I want her to be proud of me.
Yeah.
There's no good feeling than your parents saying, I'm proud of you, I'm happy. Like, those are some good words to hear from your parents. And the final question, the signature question, which you answered and then you've now fulfilled, because I asked you, who would you like to see on this podcast next? And you nominated yourself, which you have delivered. But I'll still ask you again.
But if I nominate myself again, you're going to get tired of me.
Then we'll have you back again here for something else.
No, we're not doing that.
Okay. So you don't want to come back on the podcast, huh?
Oh, my God. I want to. My God. What are you saying? But if it's me inviting myself over and over, it's going to...
Okay,
deja vu.
I will nominate you. I nominate you for being my next guest on the podcast. I'll answer the question for you.
I hope your people won't get bored of me.
No, they won't. But anyway, to wrap this up, I want to say happy Ramadan. I'm forgetting my Islamic words. Alhamdulillah. And I'm grateful that you were able to do this with me. I can't wait for the people to listen to it. I think this is going to be helpful for people who are in Uganda from different countries. I think they would love to hear your story, your journey, what you're going through.
So.
It will help some people out, some people who are going through the same things. And I think sometimes we need to hear these stories too. You can even help somebody to give them hope. Like, Sarah made it. I'll be able to make it too. So thank you very much.
Exactly. You're welcome. And thank you for having me too.
And that's a wrap.
So my name is Sarah and I'm at Dansoft Studio on the Ugandan Boy Talk Show.
Hey there, this is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much and be blessed.